So entries are now open for something called the Serious Games Showcase and Challenge Australasia. This is a chance for developers of so-called serious games in Australia and New Zealand show off what they've been working on when it comes to a game that is more than just about entertainment. But what actually makes for a serious game? Well, Adrian Webb is a proud advocate for the serious games industry in Australia. Adrian, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. How you going, Mark?
Good. Now, look, let's get a bit of a definition happening here. What do we mean when we talk about serious games?
Well, I think you summed it up quite well. I say that a serious game has more than just entertainment at its heart, because it needs to be entertaining to engage the audience. But to take it to that next level, it just needs to have that bit of information that can portray a message or help educate or inform somebody about a particular topic or issue.
And I guess the big focus for a lot of these is that education.
Yeah, one of the key things that you see in serious games all the time is education. But there are other places that serious games can help, especially in the rehabilitation aspect. And that's a huge side from the medical perspective as well, helping people to, rather than doing their boring physical exercises that they need to do to get their muscle strength going, you add a game element to that, and all of a sudden it becomes a lot more entertaining. People will start doing it for, hours rather than minutes, and it's obviously health benefits to them as well.
See, that's interesting, because I remember when the old Wii came out, the Nintendo Wii, that saw a lot of love for, aged care homes and rehab, because it was about having fun while, still staying fit and doing exercise. And I imagine that what you're talking about is kind of looking at what made those games so enjoyable, but then applying it to a more, rigorous standard.
Yeah, it's so certainly, Wii with the Wii Fit, and you had the golf games and the tennis games that all the aged care homes had and were going through. Even things like Dance Dance Revolution, and there's been studies to prove that older people that play dance games actually have less chances to fall within their homes around the place. And that's a key statistic to try and keep up how we can all stay fit. And obviously, the less time that older people have to spend in hospitals, it's a better time for everybody. And I guess by having another purpose to playing a game, it helps keep people going. And especially for the people that don't, they're like, oh, games are just for my kids. It's like, no, there are serious implications by playing games. And the statistic that, the average age of a gamer is 34. That's a huge thing. More and more people are playing games, and it's not just our teenagers that are doing that anymore.
Now, this is, if I'm correct, the seventh serious game showcase that you've held?
It is. So the one that we hold here in Australia is actually a regional one.
Okay.
And it's the winners of that get to go and represent Australia and New Zealand. That's why it's Australasia. Over at the International Serious Games Showcase and Challenge in Orlando, in Florida, at the end of the year.
Now, I imagine in 7 years you would have seen a lot of changes to the way we look at serious games and what's being developed.
Yeah, and a lot of uptake as well. Every year we see more and more entrants come in, which is really great to see, because obviously the competition can't be where it is without the people that create these games and people that have this passion for certain topics. And that's what you see a lot within the different games, is the passion that they have for those topics and being able to collaborate with academics and experts in their fields to create amazing pieces of work in both the games industry as well as within the academic or the serious space as well.
Now, when you're judging these, what sort of stuff are you looking at to sort of determine what's working and what's not?
So gameplay is obviously a huge one. Like we said, if it's not entertaining and it's not engaging, then it's not really a game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line between that. The word edutainment was thrown around quite a lot in the 80s and 90s, and that it doesn't always have the best connotation. But we use the word serious games because that's what it needs to be. Like I said, at the heart, it needs to be entertaining, but it needs to be able to portray that message. And so we judge the games on the gameplay, innovation, the relevance to the topic, and a few other different areas as well.
Now, I guess my other question is, for people who are interested in entering this, I mean, is it only people who are well-established? Can little indie people or students get involved?
Exactly right. So we have two categories. One is for industry and government entries, and another one is for students and indie companies to get along as well. So we try to open it to everybody. And we've had great success in both those fields in the past. So back in 2015, we had two really good games win, which was Project Desail and Hacknet. Project Desail was a game created by a company called Monkey Stack in South Australia. That went on to win two international awards. So that was the best serious game in the world. And that was teaching kindergartens about the desalination process down at Adelaide Water in South Australia.
Wow.
Now, if you'd given me that brief as a game designer, I would have gone, how am I going to do this? But obviously they created a great little app that you can get on your iPhone that, you know, anyone can download at the moment from what I understand. And they won two international awards for that. And then Hacknet, which was the other game that year, has won so many awards in the game space. And that's teaching people about hacking, in essence. And you know, how to protect yourselves against that.
So we do pretty well on the global stage, do we, here in Australia and New Zealand?
We do. And only recently we had another winner from Australia and New Zealand, which was Earthlight, who I believe Emery from Opaque Space was on last year.
He was. We talked to him.
Yeah, so they won the People's Choice Award, which is not easy when at IITSEC, which is largely the largest simulation conference in the world. And there's also a lot of military, a lot of academics, but not a lot of games people. And for them to be awarded that, you know, really shows that depth and that crossing boundaries between the games industry and the simulation industry and serious games aspects. You know, there's fine lines, and you can create games that can do both and still be entertaining and really rewarding in both fields.
Look, it's a fascinating space and one I know that is going to be, I think, really quite important to the Australian economy going forward. I'm pretty sure you're looking for entries up until 27th of April, is that right?
That's right, yep. So entries close in the April, and then the finalists will be selected in May, and those finalists will get to showcase their games at a conference called SynGoes up on at the University of the Sunshine Coast. And then the winners will be selected from there and they get to go over to Orlando in December.
That is very, very exciting. I know you've got details on how to register. We'll make sure they're up on the 2SER.com website for anyone who's interested. Adrian, thanks for chatting this morning.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Nick. Great.
Thank you. Adrian Webb there, talking about the serious games industry in Australia and a showcase coming forward. Basically, I guess it's a great indicator of Australian innovation of what can be put together for what is a really quite fascinating and still fairly young industry. And as I said, something I think is going to be really, really important to the economy. You've heard me talk to a variety of experts about how important gaming is going to be for the Australian economy. And this is just another great aspect of that.